VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. It's Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And it's also June, which, among other incredible things, is my birthday month. So I accept presents during the month of June, just so you all know. That was only fair. Anyway, we are here, as always, alive in the studio, real time. No repeats, no reruns, nothing of the sort. New information, good, bad, or ugly. And we got a little of each today, I'll promise you that. And, of course, we'll talk about all these wonderful things we like to talk about, unless you want to actually pick up the phone and change the course of the conversation a little bit by dialing 904-222-8255. Easy to remember is 222-TALK. And we always put callers immediately to the head of the line. We will have a trivia question as usual today. And it's, I got four chances here. I just haven't figured out which one. So I'm not going to tell you until after the first break, at which time perhaps the course of the conversation will dictate which one we use. Ah, gosh, I suppose we can't put it off forever, can we? We've got to talk about the market.
We probably should.
This week was not fun.
No.
This past month. Was not fun.
It was awful.
On the other hand, that's how these things go.
Yeah.
You'll have to wait for the on the other hand.
It is true, yeah. But it doesn't make it any less painful.
No. Go ahead. I can't put you off. Oh, that's right. I forgot. I just told Adam this. Right before we get into the awful, we occasionally will send out a mass email to clients and friends and so on. And we don't do it because it's the last day of a month or the first day of a month or whatever. We do it when we think there's something going on that requires some attention. Yesterday was one of those days, and I wanted to read to you, as I have done before, what went out yesterday to our valued clients and friends. We generally write client and friend updates because something is different, strange, and or unusual, and that something appears to be having an effect on the market. That used to occur rarely looking back over the past few years. However, there is nothing more certain than change, and the past 6 months have brought an especially frequent stream of significant and remarkable happenings. Russia, Russia, Russia. Noco, noco, noco. China, China, China. Mexico, Mexico, Mexico. You've heard all of those, and they drone on and on in the media about them. Everything is a crisis today. As the old saying goes, when everything is a crisis, nothing is a crisis. George Stephanopoulos, remember him, was a highly visible member of the Clinton administration. In February of 1996, when appearing on Larry King Live, he famously said about President Clinton that he, quote, has kept all the promises he intended to keep, end quote. In those halcyon days of Clinton, that was apparently sufficient. In 2016, America voted to drain the swamp. Trump encouraged this and fought to change the Washington good old boy culture. It didn't have to be Trump. It had to be real change. He was there at the right time and with the right message. But the D.C. swamp has teeth along with a short fuse, and it resists change. Foreign leaders have smiled and shaken hands with American elected leaders for generations, all the while ignoring the promises they agreed to keep. In this administration, when promises go unkept, actions are taken to provide catalysts for change. And so it happened Thursday night with Mexico, who is funneling tens of thousands of Central American and other illegal immigrants through Mexico up to our U.S. southern border. This is a violation of international law as well as a repudiation of promises Mexico made to Americans. Thursday's announcement of new tariffs on all Mexican imports is a wake-up call to the new Mexican government. As evidence of the effectiveness of the announcement, Mexico is already asking for an emergency meeting. They want it today. We cannot and will not hazard a guess as to what resolution, if any, will arise from the meeting. We are reasonably sure that this will not be resolved today. However, we are confident that some arrangement will follow and that the new tariffs will either not happen at all, be postponed, or will eventually be dropped. The market will love a resolution once announced, and down the line, something else will happen to upset the market. Meanwhile, we're enjoying unprecedented prosperity. The market knows this, and in the longer term will react as it has been doing for the past 2.5 years. No one enjoys these bumps, but our free economy and free market will prevail. Thank you for your continued support. I think that pretty much says what most of us are thinking. It isn't fun. It's temporary. Let's just see what happens. Trump is not going to settle for the same old lies and the same old being ignored. And you could see it because President Obrador sent his guy to D.C. immediately. Got up there on Friday. Even though there are no meetings scheduled until next Wednesday, he also put out a public announcement about it. They are seriously concerned all of a sudden. Now, if you think that the imposition of tariffs is a coincidence with that same reaction, you better think again, because they've had the opportunity to request this meeting for months and months and months. They have made differing promises for months and months and months. What has changed? It has gotten worse, not better. It will change. We will win. My prediction. And now, that said, the market didn't like that little event, and therefore?
Yep. We got a 6th straight week of declines on the Dow. And while that isn't unprecedented, it is very unusual. There's only been 7 streaks of 7 weeks of declines and 1 streak of 8 weeks of declines, I believe. So that is we're up in an uncharted territory, I guess you would call it. And that includes the financial crisis and every other crazy event we've ever been through. So very unusual to see activity like this for this long. It's all about the uncertainty, though. If you listen to the show, we always talk about what the market likes the least is uncertainty, and that is what is happening right now. I think that the relative shallow nature of the decline is reflective of what the uncertainty is around. So what Trump is trying to do is going to benefit the country and the economy and the companies that make up the Dow. But the way he's going about it is highly unusual. They don't know if it'll work, but I think there's still optimism out there despite the market falling. So that's why you're seeing things down 6% instead of 25%.
Exactly.
But nevertheless, it's never fun to watch your balance go down. And that it did this week and this month. So for the last 2 or 3 years, we've been telling you that sell in May and go away is a terrible phrase. We should never listen to it, and it was true. The market has actually done okay in May. Well, this year we should have listened, and there we are.
But on the other hand, June, July, and August are generally pretty good.
Yeah, well, and I've got a lot more after the break, but we're up against some commercials.
I just have one little quick note that I wrote to myself here. When dealing with foreign leaders, do you appeal to their better nature, or would you rather win? How's that? You got to understand how many years this country has been pushed around economically, and then you've got to overlay that with, we're tired of it, and we're not going to take it anymore. I love what's going on. I hate what it's taking to go on, but looking at what's down the line, I think we're all going to look back at this with a sigh of relief. Don't go anywhere. We've got to take a short break. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
I am going to give out the trivia question because we have a caller, and I want to just make sure that that caller has a chance, should he care to take a stab at it. So, a little quick review of income tax in this country. It was started in 1913. The top marginal rate during wartime in 44 and 45 rose to 94%. course, nobody or hardly anybody ever paid that much, but my point was, that's what it was. In non-wartime, the highest marginal rate we ever saw was 92%. That was in 1952 and 1953. My question is, starting in 1917, when the rate was 7%, how high had the top marginal rate risen in 1917? And I'll take that within plus or minus 3%, something like that. And on that happy note, good morning, Paul.
Your question was, what was the highest rate for the income tax in 1917?
Yes.
I thought you already gave the answer. You said the top rate was 7%.
That was in 1913.
Right.
Oh, 1913. Okay.
Yeah. How high had it risen?
Okay, from 1913 to 1917, yes. It probably, Woodrow Wilson was president then, I think, so it probably went up to about 20%.
I love your thought process because you are on the right track, but it was even higher than that, even higher than the 3%, so we know it's over 23%. But you're thinking is exactly right.
Because this was right around the time World War One began.
It was going in there. Yep, absolutely. Yeah. And it was high by historical standards even, but certainly not as high as it ever went.
Did the rate drop after World War One?
I actually do have that. I'll let you know after a break. I think I brought I brought a chart that is year by year. I think I've got it in my notes, but I have to make sure. Adam's looking.
It looks like it did briefly, but then it rose again.
Yeah, we used to pay for things. When we went to war, we'd pay for it. And then it would fall later. That's how we stayed out of debt so long. Anyway, higher than 23. And what else is on your mind today?
Well, first of all, thank you for doing a live show instead of a pre-recorded show like the other panel, 104.5. I had a question about the bond market. I've heard a lot of news about it this week on various stations and websites. And what I'm hearing, if you could confirm this for me and tell me if I heard correctly, what they're saying is that the performance of the bond market is indicating a recession?
Yes, that is what you're hearing.
That is exactly what you're hearing.
And to some degree, it is correct. What's happened is that you're seeing the yield curve invert. So the yield curve is simply a data plot that shows the duration of your bond, the length of your bond. So on the x-axis, so it goes from 3 months all the way out to 30 years. And then on the y-axis, it shows what those bonds are paying in terms of interest rate. And so the further out you go, the more interest rate you should get, the higher interest rate you should get. So a 30-year should pay more than a 1-year. But when that is not the case, sometimes the 30-year or the 10-year will drop and pay lower than what short-term bonds are paying. That's called an inversion. And it is a fairly accurate predictor of a recession, but not an immediate recession. A recession within the next 5 years or so.
Yeah, which is like having no indicator at all.
It is fairly accurate. So typically when you see that, you will see a recession. Now, the depth or severity of that recession is unknown. And also, you don't know that during that recession, will we see a bear market? Will we see the market drop at all? Who knows? I mean, yes, it is indicating that there are warning signs of a recession on the horizon.
But let's talk a minute about the reasons those interest rates have fallen at that level. There can be a couple things. One of the classics is when business conditions really do decelerate, deteriorate, and it is becoming obvious to everyone that the general level of business is actually declining. Not the decline in the growth rate, but actually declining. That's one thing. Because then people will sell their stocks. It's just logical. Business is going down. My stocks are going down. I'm going to move my money to bonds. That drives the bond price up. That drives the interest rate down. But there's another one. Fear. This one is based on fear. And the fear that's going on right now is that something is going to explode in the trade war or something like that, and it's going to bring the market down. Not business, but the market. So this one's based on market expectations. People are doing the exact same thing, same reaction, different cause, and they're buying bonds, which is forcing the bond prices up. In fact, TLT, the Broad Treasury Exchange-Traded Fund, is one of the big winners of the last couple of weeks. But they're buying them because they're fear of something that's going to trigger a dramatic sell-off. So they're actually selling off to, as it's a self-fulfilling prophecy that the market is going to go down a bit because they're selling it, moving over to bonds, which raises the bond price, which lowers the interest rate, which causes the inversion. Now, should it be that way or not? I have an opinion, but that's all. But anyway, that's what's going on out there.
Okay, I have a 401A. Uh-huh. Here's what I did this week. I took everything out of stocks, and I put all my money in PIMCO bonds. Now, is that a good move on my part or a bad move?
I'll let you know in 6 months.
I got to wait 6 months to find out? Okay. I will call you back on December 1st.
Put it on your calendar. Is it ever smart to do that only in retrospect?
Right, that's true. It depends what your time horizon is, too. I mean, if you are nearing retirement and you're worried that you don't have enough money and that this drop would cause you to not be able to retire, then, yeah, it's a good move. But then you shouldn't be invested in the market anyway.
Right.
In the long term, it's probably not the right move because you through that dip, let's say we go down 20%, if you own those equities, you're going to be reinvesting dividends at a much lower rate, and they'll come back eventually. And so what have you really accomplished? Right. Nothing.
Yeah, if you buy back in at the level that you went out, then you've accomplished maybe a little bit because you've got some income from the bonds.
Yeah.
By the way, nice choice on bond funds.
Well, it depends which PIMCO fund, but in general, we do like PIMCO funds.
Yeah, they're a class outfit. So I don't think you're going to get hurt real bad. I don't see a 20% upside in short term in the market. You want to go into income for a while, fine, but measure yourself for getting redistributed again. I don't think 100% stocks or 100% bonds is a good idea for more than a very short term while you're readjusting.
And also, when you try and time the market, 90% of the time you're going to end up missing it. It's just almost impossible to do. But if you get this one right, then congratulations.
But go back and look at December and see what happened on Christmas Day. Market had been going straight down to the 24th, including the 24th, and the next day we had a 1,080-some-point increase on the 26th, and no one predicted it.
Yep, and since that day, since December 24th, the market is actually up almost 15%. Even though we've come back off our highs, still up 15% from the day before Christmas.
Mm-hmm. And it's been a good year to date, too. It's easy to lose track of what's happened this year. But we've got year-to-date numbers. The Dow is over 6, the NASDAQ's over 12, and the S&P's over 10, and it's only June 1st. So it's been a good year. Granted, it was on the heels of a bad month, but the market does this for us. So if you've done it, I wouldn't change it back for a while. Watch it, and when you're comfortable, maybe buy in 10 or 15 or 20% at a time until you've got a nice balance. If you're shooting for a 50-50, 60-40, something like that, then you'll get back there that way, and you should be fine. But I'm not going to tell you you did a good thing or a bad thing because I don't know, but I will for sure tell you on December 1. I look forward to that call.
Okay, maybe after the break you can discuss the effect that the Trump tariffs are having on the market. I'd like to hear more information about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Listen, I'll hang up and listen. Gentlemen, thank you again for doing a live show.
Well, thank you for a wonderful phone call, too.
Absolutely.
You have a great weekend.
And I'll talk to you on December 1st.
Great.
If not sooner.
Take care.
Bye. That was a good question. You know,
yeah,
not everybody has the guts to say I did something that dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have the guts to tell me I made a mistake or a good call because
I don't know. You don't know. That's true. I know that we have a client that we recently picked up that told me he did the same thing the day Trump got elected. So, yeah.
Wow.
And he's not a political person, but he did that because he just felt like it would, because everyone was so upset that Hillary didn't get elected, and it did not work out.
Yeah, so the national attitude would go down.
Yeah, it just did not work out well for him.
Yeah, it's funny, though. No one person thinks like the market. The collective market is very, very intelligent. And another thing you have to keep in mind is that it's always 6 to 9 months in the future.
And it always overreacts, either way.
Always. And that's the one thing you can absolutely be sure of. The other thing is, as I told Paul, that's not a terrible place to sit for a short period of time if you're truly uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. PIMCO Bond Fund. PIMCO's a wonderful management company. We use one of our biggest holdings as one of their
bond funds. This week it is our biggest holding.
When you put it that way, it gets even better. So, anyway, we'll talk a little bit more about tariffs as the show goes on. We've got to finish up some more on the market wrap. But one thing I want to call attention to also, I don't know how many people noticed this. It didn't get a whole bunch of press. There were a lot of elections this past week in Europe. Did anybody notice the trend of what's happening in Europe, politically speaking? It's very interesting. Very interesting. Kind of reminds me of this country a year ago.
It does.
We'll be right back. This is the Banway Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
Trivia questions still out there, brought to you by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm, 904-636-7888. The income tax came into being in 1913. I remember it well. Well, remember the date. By 1917, in 1913, the highest marginal rate was 7%. By 1917, a mere 4 years into it, how high was the top marginal rate? And we know that 23% is too low. So it took a pretty healthy increase. Somehow, when you're dealing with politicians, I just can't find myself being too surprised.
No.
I digress, perhaps.
They never met a tax they didn't like.
That's correct. Whether it's new or hypothetical. Wealth tax next, right?
Yeah. I mean, you never know, but at least the candidate that is proposing that does not seem to be doing very well.
I heard a very scholarly analysis of that sometime this week about how that concept is technically unconstitutional.
I would think that argument would hold water.
I would think so, too.
I don't.
On the other hand, but it's proposed by people who have never read that constitution, so how can you hold them responsible?
Fair enough.
All right, back to the market.
Yeah, so again, we're nowhere near the lows that were set just recently in December, and that's a good sign. I mean, we were down a substantial amount more. In fact, we're up on the Dow 12% from those lows, on the NASDAQ almost 17%, and then on the S&P just under 15%. So we're nowhere near where we were in December. The market, to me, feels like it is cautiously optimistic about some resolution to this China thing. Otherwise, I think you'd see it dropping a lot more severely. But that being said, during the month of May, there were not a lot of categories that were spared declines. Utilities, healthcare, and consumer staples held up better than other sectors, while energy, materials, and technology fared the worst. Outside of the U.S., things were better in some places, but worse in others. Brazil saw a small gain, as did Russia and India, and Australia was flat. China, on the other hand, declined 10%. Hong Kong and Mexico both dropped 7%. So those were the three biggest drops that I saw. And imagine that, the three that have been in the news about the trade wars lately. So the emerging market index was down more than 7% as well. Commodities also dropped substantially during the quarter, led by the fall in oil. Gold gained 1.6% during the flight to safety. The best performer in the U.S. markets this month were long treasuries, which you mentioned earlier, and they gained more than 6%. That is a huge move for the bond market. That's just long bonds, but still, the aggregate bond market performed very well, gaining almost 1.7%. Right now, the market is still pricing in a 70% chance of a rate cut by the end of the year.
I'm starting to believe in that.
Why?
Because I think it's just pressure. If you do it on economics, no.
But there's no, I don't see the reason for it. There's no inflation to speak of.
They're not only pricing in a cut, they're pricing in a 0.5% cut.
Which, I don't get it.
No. When was the last 0.5% cut or rise that you remember?
It Was there one during the financial crisis?
Yeah, I think that was the last time I remember in a cut that was more than a quarter or an increase more than a quarter.
I think in 2000 and, or 90, that the dot-com bubble, I think, saw one or two of those.
Yeah, and so did 9/11.
Okay.
They dropped 2% overnight, as I recall.
Okay.
But those, you know, those are
pretty extreme events.
Monumental
things. There's really nothing extreme that's going on right now. We have a spat with China that, I mean, it's arguable how much damage these tariffs would even do. I think that companies could move their supply chains to other countries within 2 years.
They're doing it already.
Yeah, you are
10,000 factories a year have been closing in China since I can remember. They're no longer the low-cost producer.
No, they're definitely not. I know that GoPro was one that came to mind. They just moved all their manufacturing to another country. And there's another big name out there that is not coming to me right now. But it is happening, and I think it will continue to happen. And so if there is an effect from the tariffs in terms of higher prices here, I think it will be temporary. And I think we're probably, we might be overestimating our dependence on China.
I think we are. You look at places like India, and they're just kind of quietly humming along and growing like crazy.
Do you realize that India actually has higher tariffs to the U.S., as does Vietnam, the two other countries that are most often talked about as destinations for Chinese factories?
Segway, perhaps?
Yeah, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
They might be next on Trump's list, though, so watch out for that.
Yeah, they might be. That's absolutely true. A couple of highlights that I picked up from looking over things today that are interesting. Investor bullish sentiment dropped below 25%.
I had that in here as well. That's a good thing. Bearish sentiment is up around 40%.
Those two things together make me so happy.
Yeah, that's a really good sign for the market, because if you listen to the show, you'll know that investors never get it right.
That's exactly right. The market will, but the investors won't.
Correct.
It's a strange dichotomy.
It is. The other thing is P.E. ratios are back down from over 20 to about 18.
Especially in some areas like financials.
Financials are down around 12. That's like Europe P.E.s. And materials is around 13.
That brings to mind those two wonderful words. Buying opportunity.
Yeah, definitely.
And you notice those two words were followed by a question mark. It wasn't a statement. Okay. It was a question.
It really could be. Financials have been really lagged ever since the financial crisis. Financials have been behind the rest of the market, and I still think there's some opportunity there.
You've also got the S&P 500 dividend yield approximately matching the 10-year treasury yield.
Yeah, so
they're really close together. Mm-hmm. There's almost no spread in there. That's another sign that stocks are looking a lot better than they were. They've definitely overheated.
And the other good news this week, 215,000 on the weekly jobless claims. So it's staying down around that level.
Yep.
And that, in addition to the yield curve, that is another really good recession sign. So when that goes up over 300,000, you can start to worry. But as long as it stays down around in the low 200s, nothing to worry about.
And the GDP was recalculated where all the geniuses had it below 3%.
Yep, and it came in at 3.1, and yet there were still some people out there who managed to turn that into bad news.
We have, for the fourth segment, a little interesting thing we're going to do. We each have picked out an article that we think might be the dumbest things ever written, and they were written 2 days apart. Now, I don't know who's going to win this one for sure, but it's certainly worth looking at. And if you want to know what a biased journalist can do with some basic information, we're going to show you. It is really interesting. Anyway, again, I mentioned that European elections are very interesting. The nationalist spirit is returning to the European countries one by one, it seems, and that includes England, Italy, and a few others. And these elections should be very upsetting if you're a bureaucrat in Belgium right now.
Yeah, it's basically a referendum on Belgium.
It is.
Or and the EU.
You saw the same thing happen in Brazil.
Yeah, Brazil. Definitely they elected Trump.
In Mexico, you just put in a socialist. Did you not realize that? What are you thinking?
Well, they took a look at Venezuela and said things are going so well there, we should try it here.
Exactly. Emulate them. I want to say a word about that kind of thing. Speaking of tariffs, what is Trump's objective with tariffs? To eliminate tariffs. He's imposing a tariff to implement a non-tariff policy. If that sounds a little weird, how else are you going to do it?
It's definitely counterintuitive, but when you see what he's doing, when you study what he's doing, it really is the goal, in our opinion, is to get to zero tariffs both ways, though. That's how it can't just be one side.
And it's got to be equal, meaning zero, if you really want to play the game, right? If we send a car to Europe, they tack on a 25% tariff. When they send a car to us, we tack on a 3% tariff. Who wins? What Trump is trying to do with the USMCA, the Mexico-Canada Trade Agreement, which is called NAFTA 2.0, he is trying to make this fair and free. Now, that won't eliminate all tariffs among the three countries involved, but it will equalize a lot of them. In other words, it's a baby step, kind of a large baby step, but we're getting there. Who was getting killed with this thing? U.S. farmers. Because Canada could send all the stuff they wanted here, but we had a quota for going to Canada with our things. Well, we got hurt by this thing because they weren't taking all the products from our farmers. So Trump passed a little deal where they could reap their money back so that they could last a year and think about it later. And I'll carry on this when we get back. Don't go anywhere. Right after the break, we'll get back on it. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
This section's sponsored by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance because it's too hot to do it yourself. Call Troy at 662-9794. Trivia question still out there. The income tax started in 1913 with a 7% top rate. 4 years later, in 1917, what was the top rate? And we know it was more than 23%. They started early and kept going. No doubt about it. Good morning, Larry.
Well, good morning. Live on World Tour, Van Wee Financial. Live, no jive. Can I hit you with, I won't burn your time, can I hit you with a 25% on the trivia?
You can, and I'll tell you that you're still too low.
Well, I'm trying.
You are indeed. Everybody's got the right idea, but just not a big enough idea so far.
And I'm beginning to think retirement is just a figment of our imagination, because if you got money, you got to fight to keep it.
You got a point there that you'll never get an argument from us on.
Y'all take care.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good morning, Bob.
Hey, how you doing, Steve and Adam?
Real fine. What's up today?
Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you.
I'll take a guess.
Sure.
38% on the tax rate.
Are you ready for this?
It's a silly, wild-ass guess, yeah.
Yeah, you're too low.
Okay, good.
Giving an idea of what went on, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you're talking about Europe. We were over in Europe here recently, over in Italy, right ahead of the elections.
Mm-hmm.
And we were sitting in a bar, my wife and I, and we met a couple from Spain. And they were most impressed with Trump and our economy. They're extremely impressed with our economy.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I said, listen, I said, you know, you guys need to do the same. And we see that turning in Italy now. You know, the conservatives been elected over there. While we were over there, they had the Million Man March for marijuana. There was, you know, and they're afraid that there's going to be a big crackdown. And you go through Europe, and a lot of the streets are a mess. You know, they've got the great social programs. And my point to him was this: you guys are also going to be paying to defend yourselves now, too.
Yes, so. Absolutely true. they better get their economies moving
first. Yeah, there's a big change going on over there, and you're on to something hot. So
yeah, I knew when they did the European Union. The fundamental premise of having free travel and so on at the time sounded very good, but when they did the universal currency, that was a huge mistake. That takes your identity away.
And they're complaining about their taxes, which they are very high, and they do have, you know, cradle to grave health care, but you got to get in line over there. Just because it's free doesn't mean that you're going to get serviced.
So. When it's free and you can't afford it, there's something wrong.
Yeah, exactly. And the roads are a mess everywhere.
What do they think they are? California?
Similar Similar, very similar.
Very similar. All right, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Bye. Thanks, Bob.
All right. Did I want to wrap up something here? I was thinking, oh, yeah, on the tariffs. I think that you're going to see pressure from Mexico, not only from its citizens and its farmers and so on. I think you're going to see some pressure also on Mexico from Canada. It's, everybody knows that all people everywhere want this trade deal signed for fear that a worse thing will happen. And if Trump just abandons this one and negotiates one-on-one with everybody, you're not going to get a deal as good as the USMCA, which will pass if it's voted on right now, according to everybody I hear, despite a lot of Democrats fighting Trump to get anything done. What they're hearing from their union laborers and so on is that this would be very good for them. What they're hearing from the farmland, this would be very good for them. It started already when two Fridays ago we eliminated a lot of the Canadian tariffs. Now, what happened after that? On Monday, they took them off of the stuff from us. This works. The pressure is working. It's equalizing. You're going to probably see this little hiccup in Mexico go away. And I think we're going to get the USMCA thing done this year because they certainly won't want to give Trump a victory in the election year next year. We'll see. That's my political opinion rolled up in a big package of economics. Speaking of economics, when is a decrease not a decrease? When is an increase a decrease? And all that stuff. Well, when you're writing financial things that you either don't understand or you just can't stand success for other people or something like that. What's your worst article potentially ever written?
This one I printed off on May 30th. It was from MarketWatch, and the title was Corporate Profits Fall Again as GDP in First Quarter Trimmed. So going into that day, the GDP was estimated to drop from 3.2 to 3.0. Mm-hmm. Now, even if that had happened, my argument would be that 6 years ago, it was said that we could never get to 3% again.
Yep.
And so, okay, so it was the initial estimate was trimmed back to 3%. That's still a great number. However, it beat that number, and this guy is calling it a huge decline, basically. So he says that adjusted corporate profits before taxes, meanwhile, fell at a 2.8% pace, the biggest decline since 2015. But why are we looking at adjusted corporate profits before taxes? Shouldn't we look at post-tax profit?
Oh, because that would be too logical.
We just have a big tax cut. In fact, I sat in a presentation on Wednesday by some really smart economists who said that corporate taxes actually grew by 0.8% in the quarter. And so what's the discord here? I don't know how these two things match up. It also says, and this is a quote, business investment rose a somewhat smaller 2.3% in the first 3 months of the year. It rose 2.3%. That's really good.
No, that's terrible. It should be 10.
This guy is just taking everything that went well and twisting it to sound bad.
You can tell these people by the adjectives they use.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, just ridiculous.
Good morning, Leroy.
Good morning, how are you?
Wonderful, how are you?
I'm going to try 48%.
Well, you are on the right track, my friend, and you are still too low.
Yeah.
Politicians have never changed, I promise you.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
We'll try again.
All right. Thanks so much for the call. Getting harder to believe out there, isn't it, when we're up to 48, which includes 51 with my plus or minus 3, and it's still too low.
Yeah, and then so the inflation rate came down well under the 2% target. It's 1.4%. Again, strengthening my argument that why a rate cut now? This whole thing is I don't know. I started reading the article, and I couldn't believe what I was reading. Oh, my favorite part. Corporate profits have risen just 3.1% in the past 12 months, down from a 10% clip less than a year earlier. Well, why do you think that is? Could it have been the tax cut? You don't normally get corporate profits growing at 10% a year. If we did that, the I mean, the Fed would be raising rates like crazy.
Oh, and we'd be in a dramatic recession by now. Probably a depression if that kept up.
Anyways.
People wouldn't stand for it. All right, now that's one look, but it was strangely similar to the look from May 27th in Money and Markets. Now, MarketWatch is probably the better known of these two, but I would say that philosophically there is virtually no difference. So let's see. This fellow named Ashworth, he isn't predicting the sudden onset of a recession. Well, that's funny because up here it says the global economy and the U.S. economy with it has taken a turn for the worse in recent months due to rising trade fears and the all-out war. And retail sales are down. Business investment is next to non-existent. Da, 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 da. And it goes on and on, exactly like the guy Adam was reading. After hitting 26,500 by the end of April, the Dow Jones has lost 850 points by the opening on Tuesday after Monday's Memorial Day. That was down 3.2%.
Oh, my gosh. What will we do?
Chicken Little. The sky is falling. Oh, my gosh. Oh, and then he says, well, the U.S. still has a rock-solid labor market. Does the labor market cause the stock market to go up? Or is the labor market potentially indicative of a very strong economy? I'll leave that for you to decide.
Anyways, what was that trivia number?
1917. 4 little tiny years into the income tax itself, the marginal rate hit 77%. We should have learned right then what politicians do. They had a real good chance to repeal that amendment by then, and it didn't happen. Here we are again. I did not bring the chart for the earlier caller, but I will put it in for next week, and I can look at some of the ups and downs over the years. It's actually quite interesting. All right, well, we got to get out of here. It's been fun. We've got a lot left unsaid, so I guess on that happy note, we'll be back next week, same time. You be here too, please. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.